Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Emma. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again.
So happy to have you here. So tell us what you've been up to.
So it was like, was it in 2020 that we last talked?
2020, I think. I believe it was. Around the fall 2020.
Okay. So yeah, after that, I wrote and published The Last Piece of His Heart. And now I'm working on a new book. And pretty much, I mean, since we've been, you know, quarantined that whole time, like not much has happened, honestly. I did get to finally go to Hawaii. Because not necessarily for vacation, but we're going to actually move to Hawaii this summer. And so we're just kind of scoping out the islands. So I did get to do that. That was pretty fun.
Oh my gosh. So moving to the beach. Are you excited?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I mean, I just feel like it's a good place. Like it's a really kind of a spiritual place, honestly. And it has just such a nice vibe and it's really relaxed. And we just all feel that it'd be a good place to kind of start the next chapter. And like, I think I can write, you know, some more really good books there. I hope. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, try something different for a while.
I love it. Yeah. Are you familiar with the climate? Like it's like 80 degrees. It's always like warm.
Oh yeah. No, that's what I want. I get cold when it's like 72. So I am all about like being warm constantly. I'm looking forward to never wearing jeans ever again. Like it's all good on that front.
Yeah. I grew up in the Caribbean, so I'm like familiar with that. And I was like, yeah, it's like, it's so nice. It's like 80 degree weather all year round.
Oh, that's
like,
so cool.
I'm like,
whereabouts?
Like, I should move to somewhere more and just like have no, like, no hard pants rule, you know.
But you moved from the Caribbean to Chicago. I can't imagine a different climate.
Well, I lived in Syracuse. I went to school at Syracuse, which is like, I did not realize it's the snowiest place on earth. Like, not on earth, but like in the States. It's like a pretty snowy place. And then I moved to New York, DC, and then New York. And I lived in New York for 14 years. So, like, I've been in like cold weather for like 20 years. But I grew up in Puerto Rico. Like, I was like, my family still lives there. So every time I go Christmas, it's always like warm weather. Like, I've never had like, it was like when I moved here, I had like the whole idea of white Christmas, you know, like snow, but I'm like, that did not exist, you know?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'd love to go to Puerto Rico someday. I've heard only this, that it's beautiful and warm. So
it is beautiful and warm.
Puts it on my list.
It is beautiful and warm. It's just like, it's similar to Miami in many ways, like it's Spanish speaking. But it's a very Americanized city. So there's pretty much all amenities like that you can imagine the new city. But it's just like nice beaches and just like fun, you know, hiking places
that works
and stuff
for
like
me.
That. So, but you'll have them in Hawaii. So you have places to go for hiking, you know, and go to the beach.
I gotta be careful. The last time I went hiking, I was in Kauai when we were also in our island hunt, and I ended up blowing out my knee. So I might have to be careful on the hike, stick to the beaches and stuff.
Oh my gosh. So the last piece of his heart was the latest book you released. Tell us a little about it. Why should we just pick it up, and what do you enjoy about writing?
Well, that's the last book in my Lost Boy series. They're all standalones, like they're interconnected. It kind of follows like these three friends, Miller, Holden, and Ronan. And The Last Piece of His Heart is Ronan's book. So their kind of like friendship and bromance, so to speak, is like of those three guys is kind of like a thread that goes through the whole series. So although you can read them separately and still follow the plot, no problem. It's kind of like the romances in each book are kind of like companion to the friendship that these three guys had, and you can get like the full arc of the story if you start at the beginning with the girl in the love song, but if not, it's fine too. The Last Piece of His Heart is Ronan's kind of like the bad boy of the three. You have Miller, who's like the the poor boy, like the wrong side of the tracks, who becomes a rock star. And then you've got Holden, who he's had a pretty troubled past, and he and his love interest River are kind of like dealing with coming out and, you know, learning to accept themselves and that sort of thing. And then with Ronan, like, he's the bad boy. He has had a traumatic past. I put all my characters to such trauma.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Okay. And his love interest is Shiloh. And she is this jeweler in the making. She's like, her talent is creating jewelry, and she has her own kind of familial issues that she's working through, and they kind of come together. They're like really strong and stubborn. They kind of come together and realize that they're like, you know, stubbornly, they're perfect for each other, and it's their story. So I really love that one. I love it because, well, it's the last one. And I feel like I said, with the friendship of the three, it kind of like, not only does it wrap up Ronan and Shiloh's story and they get their happily ever after, but the kind of all of the Lost Boys come full circle. So it's special for that reason too. I'll miss them.
Oh, I love this. And so let's talk about, like, you write some angsty, some emotional reads. Like, what's the writing process for you to get in that headspace to write those stories, to take the reader on a journey? Like, literally, I know they're gonna be happy in the end, but you take this journey, you know.
Yeah, they have to work for it, I guess. I don't know, to get in the headspace, I think everybody, part of the reason why I write that way, I'm really interested in exploring how people in general get through hardships in life and trying to come out on the other side. And I like writing about like strength and maybe not knowing you have strength to do it and then coming through anyway, or like finding your inner strength or finding your inner, you know, love for yourself, not just love with someone else. And I really like that, like, idea of, you know, people conquering the hardships and traumas in their life and coming out on the other side. Cause I think everybody has that to some degree or another. I know I have, I know most people do. That's what life does. It kind of tests us. And so I like writing about characters who are tested and who don't cave under that and who come out the other side and who like learn through loving someone else. They don't like fix each other, these characters, but the love that each one gives the other helps boost them and gets them through. And I feel like everybody has that within them, and it may seem impossible or hopeless, but it's really not. And so I put these characters through so much and they come out the other side because I'm hoping to convey that anyone else, any reader can do that too. That if like these guys go through such, you know, hard stuff and come out, anyone else can too. It's just about, you know, like I said, finding that inner strength, and or not even finding it, but just knowing it's there, believing that it's there. So I think that's what I've been saying with all these heavier topic books.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's like, you know, we all go through trauma. We all go through like emotional turmoil, obstacles, like, you know, so it's like, I think it's important to, like, for us to, as readers, to go look at romance. It's like, you know, it's a reflection on, like, you know, some stuff that you have gone through, and like helping you see like how another person had gone through it, or showing you what a toxic relationship looks like, or what is a healthy relationship looks like, you know, and what works and what doesn't work, what boundaries, like all these different topics are like reflected right. You read, and you can actually explore it and see, like, it can actually, you know, smash patriarchy and smash all the different toxic, you know, stuff. Like, it gives you like a whole blueprint of how to do things differently, you know.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, some people say, oh, well, your stuff is pretty heavy. Well, there's like a ton of other romance authors who don't deal with maybe heavier stuff, and a reader can find, I think, the kind of love story that they want to experience. And it could be like, one day it's a light, fluffy rom-com, the next day they want to go a little darker, the next day they want, you know, something that I've written or something. And it just kind of is like what you're saying, it's you know, the love is such a universal thing that all humans experience, and like, to see these different stories and to go through these different stories, I think it's just a reflection of like humanity in general. So when people diss romance novels, I get all mad, because that's like, you know, we're showing like and revealing and writing really in depth about the like the strongest energy basically there is in the world. So there.
Yes. I love this. Yes. So let's talk about self-care and the pandemic. So what's your self-care looks like now?
I've you know, in the pandemic, we're all sitting at, you know, staying at home, but I always stay at home anyway, basically, because I'm like, I work from home and I'm in my jammies all day and I'm at the computer typing and I, you know, I don't really go out too much. So it didn't change all that much for me in that sense, except I didn't get to travel, which is, that is a self-care thing, actually. Mm-hmm. I love traveling. I love like going to book signings and meeting my readers in person and talking to them and getting hugs and giving hugs and telling, you know, telling them thank you for all you do. And so that sucked, not having been able to do that. But at home, the Peloton is my self-care thing. I mean, I talk about it so much, it's probably, people probably think I'm like getting paid, but I'm not, I swear. I just love it. It's just such a great way to get exercise. I don't have to leave the house. I don't have to, you know, worry about, oh, I'm at the gym, what are people going to say, blah, 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 all that crap. You just get on, you ride, and the instructors are amazing. And they're like, it's like therapy and motivation and exercise all in one. So that's my key thing. If I didn't have my bike, I'd be not a happy camper.
So I got a bike recently too. So I got a
You did?
I did. Awesome. I did. I used to spin in New York, and I was like, justified. It was like, it's cheaper than spinning in a group studio. So I was like, and I can do it as many times as I want.
You don't have to worry about like traffic or weather or anything. It's like, I just love it. Oh, that's awesome. Who's your favorite instructor?
So I'm still trying to figure out. I like when Cody goes on tangents about Britney Spears and like JT and Davey.
I love Cody so much. He's like one of my top guys. I just
adore him. Yes. Because I live in New York, I used to take the actual studio classes back in the day. I was in the studio audience. Like, there should be like, there's spots of old school, like, you know, this is like a few years ago.
I'm gonna totally look for you. So I'm gonna go back in the catalog and try and find you.
Yeah, I have to like look for it. But yeah, I was like, it's funny enough. Like, I'm like, because it was one of the few students that offer free shoes, and that was the reason why I took the classes, because I was like, most of the classes it adds up, like it's $40 plus the shoes, plus the water, plus this, and I'm like, free shoes? I'm like, count me in. So I have an affinity for Peloton because it was like free shoes. But I like Ali Lava, like her. I took an Japan class and I was like dying. So I feel like it's a little too hard for me yet, but I just need some more practice for it.
There's definitely different instructors for what you're in the mood for or what you feel like you can handle that day, for sure. Like if I'm feeling tired, I don't do Robin. I know she's going to kick my ass. And like, Allie's kind of tough. Jess King is one of my faves. I love her. She's a therapist.
100%. She's a therapist. She's like spiritual. Like, I think she reminds me of that, like self-help, spiritual, like, you know, guru, like still. And like, I go for that vibe, and I follow like a lot of fitness instructors and are taking their classes, because I'm like, I get my spiritual food thanks to
you. Totally do.
It's like going to church.
And I think, it's like amazing the different kind of, you know, motivations that you can get from them. I totally agree. And I think their only flaw was in their marketing, not conveying how amazing their instructors are, and trying instead to go for the home fitness angle, which is fine, but you get so much more than that. I love Peloton. Here's the Peloton.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's all about Peloton. What's your favorite trope to write?
My favorite trope. That's a good question. You know, I've been thought about it too, and I'm like, I don't know if I can name it, but like, I guess friends to lovers do I seem to write a lot of, but not like where that's kind of obvious. I don't know. I like that. I'm not a fan of like enemies or bullies or anything like that. I kind of tend to stay away from that. I don't know. I just sort of like heavy.
I think you're like, you have like a niche of heavier topic, like more like, it's going to make me cry. It's going to make me feel the feelings, you know? I think that's probably like,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I think that's your niche, you know?
Yeah. I think this next one though, the one I'm currently writing, I think it's probably going to be slightly lighter. I think, and I can't talk too much about it. I don't want to talk too much about it because I want to kind of keep it's different. It's way different than anything I've written so far. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's on the lighter side, but I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll write a rom-com, and then we could not go there. We tried. So it's a lighter version of what I do, but not quite a rom-com. I think someday maybe I'll try a rom-com, but I don't know, I'm not in the headspace for that yet.
I think you just have to be in the headspace. And like, if you're comfortable with just being in that space and you're bringing something to the reader that they're looking for, you know, you have an audience that are like looking for that book. And so, you know, it's okay. Like if you're not in the headspace for a rom-com, like it can be fine if you're just like, you just take a lighter load as opposed to being like a heavier load. And sometimes you like, you're in the space for a heavier load and you get the heavier load, you know?
Exactly. And I think The Lost Boys was pretty heavy. It was like three pretty heavy books all in a row. The first one, not quite as much as the last two, but still pretty heavy. And so, you know, I do want to be true to what I need to do as a storyteller, but you're right. Like I think even I needed a break a little bit from the super heaviness of it. So doing this next one, it still has like a lot of the elements that I'm, you know, that I tend to gravitate toward. But yeah, I think it's a teeny bit on the lighter side. We'll see. I could be completely wrong by the end of it. No, I'll leave it to the readers. I don't really like to even like talk about what I do. I'm like, I'll let the readers say, because you guys are the ones that, you know, can like, I don't know, like categorize what it does for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So let's chat some book recommendations. Is there any book that you have read that you recommend? Any other authors you should check out?
Well, I tend to try to not read too much romance, honestly, because I'm trying to like, I don't know. I feel like if I read too much romance, I might start inadvertently pulling things that, you know, from other stories. And I don't want to do that. It's hard enough already, honestly, to come up with, you know, plots. There's that old saying that like every story has already been told. And I really don't want to like be derivative as much as it is possible. And so I tend to read a lot of nonfiction and some more like women's literature type novels. I'm currently reading City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't know that I recommend it yet. I'm so early on, but she's really fun. And I love her. But as far as our romance goes, I do read some, and I love Kennedy Ryan. I don't think anything I recommend is going to be like, oh, who is that? It's going to be like people, you know, Kennedy. Kennedy's awesome. Yeah. I love Kate Stewart. And I read Robin Lee's The Idea of You. I know I'm really late to the boat on that one.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh my God. I love that book so much. And I'm like, well, damn, I can never write an age gap romance ever because she already wrote it. And it's how I would want to write it, with a rock star. And like, oh, it's just perfect. And I'm like, okay, well, I missed the boat on that one. But yay, I got to read that one.
Yes.
That one I highly recommend.
I agree with The Idea of You. I feel like that's a book, like, it's not a romance, it's a love story, whatever it is. But it's just so, so good. It's like Harry Styles, fan fiction, you know, like world traveler, like the age gap, the angst about it. Oh,
so it's just perfect. And it's just perfect because the heroine is exactly believable. There's no other heroine who would, you know, a young, hot, rich rock star is going to fall for, if not someone who's sophisticated and has the ability to travel like he does and has her own money and has her own independence. Like, I don't know. I thought it was just so well done.
Yes. I feel like this conversation has been all about like angsty romance, like, you know, and stuff, but we've been talking about like things that I'm interested in, like Peloton, Idea of You.
Yeah. We're just like, oh, we'll leave all that.
Yeah, like let's talk about like the other stuff that makes you unique, makes your life fun, you know. So
totally.
So tell us where you can find you online.
emmascottwrites.com is my website, and then you can subscribe there. People can subscribe there if they want to get my newsletter, which I try not to be spammy at all. It's very like, it's once a month, and there's going to be a lot of like free content. Like you can get bonus scenes from Girl in the Love Song and other books. I'm going to start putting more free content through the newsletter, so subscribers can get that and kind of see where the characters are, you know, checking in with them and that kind of thing. And I'm on Instagram at Emma Scott Writes also. And then I have my Facebook page, Emma Scott Author, I believe. And then I'm on Twitter, but I don't really, Twitter's where I go just to kind of talk about stuff. I'm really bad at promoting my books on Twitter. Oh, I'm on Bidenmaine. I do have an account there. So I would say those are the best places for like book related content. And then you can just find me on my personal page or Twitter if you want to like talk about other stuff or rant. I tend to rant on Twitter, so I don't really promote that too much.
I feel like that's like a good place for Twitter. I love like following authors. I'm like, yes, I agree with you, you know, the rants and just stuff. I'm like, okay, this is good, you know.
I know, so. It's like it's like where I get my news, and then if the news is like making me angry or like upset, then I try not to, but I just, that's where I go to vent a little bit. And you can always tell if I'm in a bad mood because I'm more vocal on Twitter. You can see, oh, okay, she's having a bad day.
I love this. Well, thank you, Emma, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's so nice talking to you, even though, well, we did talk about books. We got some book talk in there.
We did. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.